Thank you. Good morning. Has everyone got the spring bug this morning? Enjoying that beautiful weather this weekend? Amen for sunshine. And we welcome each and every one of you to God's house this morning, and we pray that as we worship together, that you would be immensely moved and transformed by what God is saying to you this morning. And just a few announcements that I have for you. First off, I wanted to let you know that you'll notice that the McMillans are not here this morning. And unfortunately, we have been told that Don McMillan is in hospital. I think he went in on Friday. And so we want to keep him in our prayers this morning. And for sure, we want to follow up with him and make sure that things are okay there. I have two other announcements. We want to make sure that you're very aware of our pasta dinner and auction that's coming up in June. This is an annual event, and it's a fundraiser for sending a kid to camp, and you know all about that. And mark that on your calendar. That's going to be a great event, and the information is there in your bulletin. And I think Jamie and Alana, they're now up.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Boys and girls.
Citizens of all ages.
Are you prepared to see the best concert of your life?
If you answered yes, then you better get down here on April 30th for the Cabaret Cafe.
There will be singing.
There will be dancing.
There will be instruments.
And there will be refreshments.
And be sure to come with your wallets, because there will be an offering basket at every table, as well as a fantastic silent cake auction.
Oh, Alana, with Dan and Lucy LeBlanc bidding, that auction will not be silent. And all the money raised will go to sending those kids performing to music camp.
So be here on Saturday, April 30th at 6:30 for the 7th annual... 7th annual?
Is it 8th the, annual?
8th? 10th? 10th? For the Cabaret Cafe!
In the early morning hours, we head to the Managua Airport to leave Nicaragua and continue our journey to Honduras. When we arrive, we find our flight has been canceled due to a volcanic eruption. Bits of pulverized glass and rock, volcanic ash, can cause serious damage to aircraft. After some quick discussion, we learn that not all flights are affected, and a stopover in Panama becomes an option to get us on our way. The Latin America North Territory is made up of 10 countries, and Panama was the first the Salvation Army entered, officially, in 1904. Once through security, Major Brown and Lieutenant Soltido tried to connect with the Salvation Army in Panama. Lieutenant gets through, and on the other line is Major Illicit Marquez, and he is thrilled to meet up with us. Panama's competitive economy and impressive infrastructure sets it apart from other countries in the Latin America North Territory. When we arrive, Major is eager to take us to Tucor in the few hours that we are here. We arrive at Rio Abajo Cor and find it also runs a school for almost 200 students from ages 3 to 10. The school day is over and parents are arriving and picking up their children. When parents reach the outside gate, there is a camera the teachers must use for security. When we ask the major about the extra security, we find out that violence is a major issue in Panama. Major Marquez describes a time that he was held at gunpoint during a church service in Panama.
The people for start in prayer, the guy came in and he was watching to the front and he called me and I moved and he took the gun and pointed, saying, "Walk ahead to the back of the property." And I was there, and he put my... I think the guy was killing me.
Yes.
He put the gun in my hand, I said, please don't go with the people in the church. They are all retired person. They have no money for their medicine. Thank God he didn't went to the meetings.
As we pass a large shipping yard, the colonel seems to be getting anxious. As the sun sets, he admits that he is a little bit lost and decides it is best that he return to somewhere familiar to continue traveling from. We arrive at Panama Temple, and the officers explain this is what's called a red zone. They have to be very cautious, even to go out for groceries, as there is a big gang presence in the community. They have just started doing construction on the daycare and are looking forward to having some classrooms to help work with different age groups more effectively. The school currently has 35 children in total, and 9 children between the ages of 1 and 2, and 4 teachers. It's been a short visit, but seeing the Salvation Army in Panama was an unexpected blessing.
Yes, thank you.
Next, the Salvation Army in Honduras is on fire.
Thank you, Ray, for showing that. I trust that each Sunday we will get a clearer idea of our partners in mission around the world, and it'll generate our generosity. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, all ye that are upright in heart. This is a wonderful song. We're going to stand and sing this song, and after we do that, just in a moment, we're going to have a video of one of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, dramatized through the reading of Scripture on a video, The Road to Emmaus. And then we're going to sing the song, I Come to the Garden Alone. And we want to experience the post-resurrection appearance of Christ here this morning. Because, you know, God is here. And he's here through the risen Lord. And in this time between Easter and Pentecost Sunday, Jesus appeared in many ways, 17 times, to human beings. And we want to just experience him with us this morning. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And if you want to follow along in the scriptures, it's Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 33. But it's the image. We want to take you to the road to Emmaus.
What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and us sad.
Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known of the things which are come to pass there in these days?
What things?
Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not.
O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.
Thanks for thy bounties. Amen.
Amen. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We must return to Jerusalem this very hour.
Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when the Lord himself, the risen Lord, breaks the word before you, walks side by side along the pathway, intimately, privately? That's the Lord that we know. And there's a lovely song that is a testimony to that. It's an old hymn, but one that's so well loved. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still in the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I'm his own. May that be our experience this morning. We're going to sing this song, and then Major Harvey Pilgrim's going to come up here and offer prayer. Thank you.
Let's pray together. There is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and we know it is your presence. O Lord, we are humbled in your presence. We pause to reflect upon the fact that in the presence of God for us in these precious moments, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, represents us before the throne of grace. We thank you for the blood-stained mercy seat that allows us to come into your presence this morning. Unworthy though we are, yet made worthy by thy blood. We pause to reflect upon the fact that as you walk with those on the Emmaus Road, so this morning in this place, you walk with us. We sense your presence. We ask your forgiveness that there are times when we don't understand that your presence is with us, that we fail to recognize you in our everyday lives, in all the happenings of our lives. There are times, O Lord, when life has its challenges. There are times when we don't know where to turn. There are times when the circumstances of our lives are overwhelming. But help us to remember that you do walk with us and talk with us and remind us that we are your own. Help us to remember the joy that provides, the joy that brings to us. We give you thanks that our daily walk is one in which you make provision for us in every way. You remind us that you carry our load, that you carry our burdens. We confess that there are times when we fail to look to you from whence cometh our help. There are those times when we neglect to be in communion with you. We ask that you will help us this morning to once again experience the power of your presence, the power of your grace, the power of your love. Come amongst us in a very special way, and may this time together, as we share together in the singing of the songs that have been chosen, as we reflect upon the scripture that we've already heard, and as we listen to your word that is brought to us by your servant, may we have open hearts and minds and ears that we leave this place once again, empowered by your presence, empowered by your grace. For we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You catch those words? Speak, O Lord. Wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. It makes you just want to say hallelujah, doesn't it? I hope it does. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. All right. Now we're going. Now we got it going. Because we're going to have, thank you. We're going to have the children actually sing hallelujah. There's a little chorus that I don't know if you know, but it's got a real lilt to it. It's called hallelujah. 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 That's how it goes. And then the second verse we want to sing is we want some activity. So hallelujah should be a corporate thing. So all the kids, you want to come down here? Those of you who are coming while I'm talking, yeah, I forgot to ask them down. We want to clap the hand next to you. So the second verse goes, clap another hand, clap the hand next to you, clap another hand and sing this song. All right? Just don't miss and kind of do any of that, okay? And then the third one is shake another hand, shake the hand next to you. All right, can you get that? You guys are smart. You'll be able to do that, right? All right, let's sing it together. Sorry, Allison. One more time. Here we go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now clap another hand. Ready? Clap another hand, clap the hand next to ya. Clap another hand and sing this song. Clap another hand, clap the hand next to ya. Clap another hand and sing. Sing song. Hallelujah, la la la, hallelujah. Hallelujah, la la, hallelujah. Hallelujah, la la la, hallelujah. Hallelujah, la la. Hallelujah. Now shake another hand. Ready? Here we go. Shake another hand. Shake the hand next to ya. Shake another hand and sing this song. Shake another hand. Shake the hand next to ya. Shake another hand and sing. Sing this song. Sing it together now. Here we go. A little faster. Hallelujah. 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 Really fast, let's see some smoke from that piano. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. One more time, really fast now. Ready? Here we go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you. Didn't Allison do great? Wow, really playing along there. Fantastic. Let's have a prayer. Dear God, we just want to express how happy we are that we can be in your presence as the risen Lord. We reflect on those moments, those very precious and private and sacred moments when you walked as the risen Lord with actual people and how we wish it would have been there. When you spoke to the disciples in the upper room, when you walked on the road to Emmaus, when you saw the group of disciples, how we wish we could be there. But Lord, we're realizing we can be there and you are here with us and it makes us want to rejoice. As we release these children now, God, to go to their classes, I pray that they will experience, just like on the road to Emmaus, they will experience their teachers breaking the word of God and they will see the risen Lord in their teaching. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, off you go, guys, and let's just sing that chorus one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I think I needed another coffee before I could get all those hallelujahs in this morning. I would ask the ushers to please come forward now as we continue to worship God by the giving of our tithes and offerings this morning. And words of Jesus taken from Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give to each one of us each day. And Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that when we don't include you in our plans, and when we fail you, and when there are disappointments, Lord, that you love us, and you walk alongside us, and you restore us. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we give back to you a portion of all that you have given to us, that you would help us to be wise as we use it, that you would multiply it, and that there would be souls saved because of what we give this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Allison. Beautiful playing. What a blessing we have in this choir, don't we, with our musicians of the band and with the pianists and the accompanists. And we don't ever take that for granted. Thank you for the contribution you've already made. And in that light, I would like to kind of make this a bit of a songster selection this morning. We're going to look at a couple of songs in the new songbook that don't appear in the old songbook, but I think they're well known to us. One of the features of the new songbook is that they have scriptures at the beginning of every song. And one of the things I like about it is it does declare our first doctrine. We believe that the scriptures in the Old and New Testament are given by inspiration of God, and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice, and that includes our worship. So it's an illustration of that doctrine coming alive in our songbook. Well, we recognize that our singing and our worship has one source, and that's Scripture. And so we're going to sing two songs. And each of these songs relate to the Scripture portion that we're going to be reading this morning. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to the 30. Now, the first song is 425 in the new songbook, 424 in the new songbook. And it says, the first verse is, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest." And then Melody is going to come and she's going to read to us that wonderful portion where Jesus makes that invitation. And then we're going to sing what was it's a Joy Webb song that became a beautiful songster piece. And many of you who are songsters will remember seeing this. But it's called the song, "Share My Yoke." And we're going to sing that. So let's start. We'll stand and we'll sing 424 in a new songbook. And words will be up there. And the band is going to help us. And then Melody will come up and read that scripture. And I've entitled this segment, "The Word in Scripture and Song." So this will be the scripture reading portion. We're going to sing some of it. and we're going to read some of it. And then we're going to hear from the word of the Lord. Let's sing together.
As Major said, I'm reading from Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Share my yoke and find that I am joined with you. Powerful song. I've asked the band to help us sing this to help carry it, but it's a wonderful Joy Webb song called Share My Yoke.
Come my way, in my mind.
beautiful melody and very, very rich words. Very personal, isn't it? Very personal. I'm trusting that you've experienced some of these things. I certainly have in my life. Written by Joy Webb, world famous Salvation Army author and singer, founder of the Joy Strings, who in the 60s were tops on the British chart. Not just inside the army, but outside the army. One of the most profound and exciting and impactful music expressions in army history. And she writes these words. When I'm alone and nothing's getting through to me, an isolation that increases day by day, when closest friends can seem 1,000 miles away, it's then I long to hear him say, share my yoke. That's what Jesus spoke to his disciples, and he's speaking to us this morning. Thank you, you're doing well. Let's try this third verse and chorus together. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus. Not only for just sending him and leaving him as a distant Savior, but as an intimate, intimate Lord and friend. Thank you for sending him to those first century disciples, those 17 times when you appeared in flesh and blood after you resurrected, to prove who you were. And this morning, Lord, as we look at the wonderful invitation you've given us this morning, come unto me. I pray that we will sense that same presence right here, and we will respond in accordance to your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, invitations are a wonderful thing, aren't they? It's kind of neat when you get something in the mail that invites you to something special or to meet somebody special. Sometimes you even get invited to things that you don't expect, into the presence of greatness. Well, when I was a young person, and that was a long time ago, I was involved in what was then called Older Boys Parliament. And young people would meet together between Christmas and New Year's, and they would discuss the things that were related to the society of that day, the major political and social issues. And we would carve out what we thought should be laws and legislation relating to that. We would actually meet in the parliament buildings in Manitoba, in the legislative buildings. We had a cabinet. We had backbenchers. We had a premier and a deputy premier. And they all got elected. And I was part of that for 7 years. And in my sixth year, I got elected Premier of Older Boys Parliament. Now, the neat thing about that was that I got to represent the voice of the young people of Manitoba to the government. And I got invited to several kind of neat places. One of the most memorable for me was I got an invitation to the conference center
in Winnipeg at the concert hall. And I was there to present a special honor to the guest speaker of that day who was coming to Winnipeg to speak. The honor was called the Order of the Mace, which was the highest honor that Older Boys Parliament could give to a political or a social leader. So I got to go, and my job was to present the Order of the Mace to the Right Honorable John Diefenbaker. Now, many of you won't remember him, but he was like a very striking politician, former prime minister, and whose words could penetrate like no other orator I think we've ever had in a prime minister. Very witty, very sharp. And I just felt I had to be on my best behavior as I went to meet. And it was wonderful when I went to meet him, and we went beforehand into the green room, it was called, where all the kind of dignitaries were to meet the prime minister before this big speech. And I'll never forget, I was a bit shy, and he said, and somebody said to me, oh, there's the Premier of Older Boys Parliament. He said, come. So I came over, and I shook his hand, and I met, and Don was with me. And he said, oh, and who is this? And I said, well, this is my fiancée, Donna. And he said, Olive, come and meet this little thing, he says. I had to have Donna away from the Sunday for me to tell you that story, because she looked very young, and she said, what grade are you in? And Donna said, well, I'm in third year university. Oh, Olive, isn't that something? Years into, and there was this neat thing about being invited, and being asked to come. You know, the scripture is full of invitations that Jesus gave to people. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain in me, and I in you. Come and be part of who I am. And if you do, you will bear much fruit. You see, it was an invitation with a promise. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's a very famous painting about this invitation. Here I am, said Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and in and eat with him, and he with me. It was an invitation and a promise. An invitation with an RSVP. And then that tender, gracious promise, invitation that we read this morning, with a soothing, comforting, hopeful promise. Come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, he says. What a wonderful, beautiful invitation. And he's asking for an RSVP. You might want to take it out and look at it. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. Look at this text. And you'll see that there are four key words in that invitation. First key word is come. Literally mean come hither, to follow. Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, come to me. It's the same word that's used in many times in the New Testament, even with some of his miracles. When the feeding the 5,000, he said, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. An invitation to quietness with his disciples. From the chaos, the hectic pace of life, Jesus says, come. And then there was a parable of the wedding banquet when the kings said, bring them from the highways and the byways and let them come in. It's an invitation to celebration and joy. And then there's a parable of the least of these. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. take your inheritance. Come into the kingdom. An invitation into inheritance. And then, invitation at the empty tomb. Matthew 28. The angel spoke to his disciples and to the women. He said, "He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." Come to what? Come to whom? Who is to come? He says, come to those who labor, who work to the point of exhaustion. Literally, that word means. And it's kind of this never-ending kind of clause. It keeps coming. The trials keep coming. The labors keep coming. There's no rest to it. There's no break from it. Literally, it means to be worn down by repeated labor. Life is hacking away, draining energy, piece by piece, bit by bit, relentless and never stopping. Come, he says. Those who are like that. Those who are feeling that, come. Come those who are heavy laden. When the things of life are too heavy to carry. Those who have already been filled up to capacity and beyond. And you're feeling weighed down and their knees are beginning to buckle. It's almost like compound interest, you know? When it keeps growing and growing, and the heavier it gets, the more it's worse. And I heard one guy say about this, you're getting behinder and behinder. Those who are weighed down, come. Those who are weighed down and weary from the burdens. Of course, the most important burden is the burden of sin. Would you be free from your burden of sin? He lifted sin's great burden, says the songwriter. See, the burdens can come, and you can carry them, and they become almost too much. Now, I have another sermon I want to preach about this, but I don't want to, I want to just make a clarification. There's a difference between burdens and crosses. Burdens are something, are those things that are imposed upon us that we have no control over. Crosses are those things we willingly pick up in the name of Christ and carry. And I say that because what does Jesus say about our crosses? He says, take them up. Take up your cross. And sometimes as Christians, we get mixed up between burdens and crosses. When God calls us to do something in his name and it costs us something, and it does, he says, taking that up. But here he's saying, no, the burdens, those things that don't belong to you, lay them down. Lay down the burden of sin. Don't carry the guilt. Lay down those things that are too heavy for you. For those of you who are exhausted, and those of you who feel weakened, come. The second word is come and take. Take my yoke, he says. Now, the yoke in those days was a heavy wooden harness that fit over the shoulders of oxen. And by it, these oxen would be able to carry weights, enormous, enormous weights, and pulled just these incredible loads. Now, it was common image in Jewish time to talk about the yoke of the law. The endless, wearisome rules of religion had become a burden beyond which so many people could not carry, and they became imprisoned by it almost. That's why Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to lift them. You see, religion itself can become endless and tiresome. But it's this trend towards ritualistic
and legalistic religion that Jesus is talking about. And that can happen within us, can't it? The very ritualistic part of our congregational life can become a burden. It's happened in the early church, and that's why the early church gathered. There's a tremendous issue that in the early church, the Jewish disciples particularly were expecting the Gentiles disciples to become Jews and take on all of the rituals of the Jews, circumcision and dietary rules, in order to become Christians. And Paul and Barnabas had gathered with a great crowd of church leaders in Jerusalem to discuss this as a religious issue. And they came to the realization that that should not be. That we were not saved by religion, but by Jesus. And where Jesus doesn't exist, where Christ isn't entered into our daily life, religion can't save you. And you know what can happen? That we can be salvationists for our whole life and never really walk with Jesus. And we're upheld by all the buoyancy and wonder and greatness of our rituals and of our tradition. That's all very good and very wonderful. And that can happen within our own denomination. And that becomes a burden. Well, in Palestine, these yokes were made of wood, and the oxen was brought to a carpenter, and careful measurements were taken, and the yoke was carved and crafted, and the oxen was brought back to this carpenter, who would specially fit this yoke for this ox. And it fit so well so it wouldn't irritate or scrape or rub or injure the beast. It was made to fit perfectly for that oxen to carry that load. Well, Jesus is the master carpenter. He makes the best yokes around. So when Jesus says, "Take my yoke, for it's easy," he offers a transfer of yoke, a yoke transplant, one that is especially fitted for you as you walk with him. It's not easy to carry, it's not light. But when carried by and designed by the master carpenter, it becomes bearable and possible and productive. And that yoke is laid on in love and in care, and it becomes right. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." And you know, it's really quite interesting because Lloyd John Ogilvie has another thought about this, and this is what he says. "When feelings of being unfree hit me, I have to recapture these words of Christ, 'Take my yoke upon you.' The idea behind this promise, I think, was a training yoke in which an older, stronger ox pulled in tandem with a younger, weaker ox. The trainee learned and with the experienced beast who carried the responsibility for the weight and the direction in plowing the furrow. Christ takes away the heavy load and guides us along a straight path. But as I explained to others, I am brought back to the fact that I assume new yokes of slavery I try to carry alone. And when I get exhausted or depleted, the Savior is always waiting with a liberating offer. Take off that yoke. Here, join me in mine." Come and take. Then he says, "Learn of me. Search for the truth." Sometimes that search can be burdensome and wearisome, and the answers to questions plague our spirit, things we can't figure out. And in that moment, Jesus says, "I've got the answers. bring me into the picture of your confusion and of your doubt, your bewilderment. Allow me to be revealed in those moments. You might not see the answer, but you'll see me. Let my presence in any situation uncover the truth. Come, take, learn. Then he says, rest. Literally, it's translated several ways: relief or refreshment or encouragement or comfort or joy. But the best explanation of this is found in Mark 5, in the feeding of the 5,000. They were hot and tired and weary, and they needed to be refreshed and fed. And in that moment, Jesus appears and miraculously brings comfort and rest and encouragement. Now, it's easy to find discouragement in a lot of places, isn't it? Easy to get discouraged. Can I even say that sometimes it's not too hard to get discouraged in the church? Sometimes it's not too hard to get discouraged in the work of Christ, in the ministry. Sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when life changes. It's easy. In those moments, claim this verse, because there's an invitation from Christ this morning. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. It's a wonderful song. It's an old song, I know. But it's a song that speaks so clearly to the invitation of Christ to us this morning. You see, he's risen, and he's here, and he's just as he walked on the road to Emmaus with those disciples, and they barely recognize him. Sometimes in the burden and in the activity of life, he's right beside us, and we don't recognize him. Well, recognize him this morning. What do you need from the risen Lord? Is there a heart or burned with sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. We're going to sing this through. And then I'd like to match that up with another chorus. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Come. Take, learn, rest. Listen, Christ is here, the risen Christ is here. And he's giving us all an invitation to meet him and greet him in a very special, intimate way. Will you come as we sing? For those of you in the old songbook, it's 246 of the Song in the Pew. We're going to sing the first verse and chorus of this song. And then we're going to sing another chorus, but you come if you feel led of the Spirit to come.
Is there a heart or bound with sorrow? Is there a life I care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety.
able. Anyone else like to come to this place of prayer? He is able to handle anything that comes my way. That's the promise that comes with that invitation. Will you sing it? You come as we sing. He is able. Father God, we thank you so much for the wonderful promises in those songs. But more importantly, the great invitation with a promise that you give to us. Lord, we experience labor and ladenness. We experience it all the time. Sometimes it's through actions of our own making, and sometimes it's just stuff that happens, over which we have no control, and we really don't know where to go with it. And it seems so relentless and never-ending. And we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And we know that was it for you, too. You lived like that. In moments like that, God, we thank you so much for the living Lord that appears to us in all your fullness, in all your reality. And you invite us, just as you did for Thomas. See my hands and my feet. There's the proof I'm here. I pray right now, God, if there's anyone here who needs an encounter with you, a private, in a very intimate, in a very sacred, in a very wonderful, restoring encounter with you this morning, they'll reply, I'm here. Let's sing. We pray this, Lord, knowing that you are here with us as the risen Lord. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. Let's sing that chorus again and pray along with our comrades here. And if you feel like you'd like to come to this place of prayer, you come as we sing. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. More than I could ever. is able to handle anything comes my way. You believe it? I got to tell you, I've had to prove that, test it, not so long ago. Doesn't seem to go away, does it? And yet, the other thing that doesn't go away is the presence of Christ in our life. Never. And no matter what we face, He is there. And then, here's the promise. Not only can He handle anything that comes my way, but then He can make us into something we never dreamed we could be. What a powerful promise. What a real promise. We're going to tarry for a few minutes here. There's God doing His work at our altar here. And we know some of you may need to leave. Some of you have residents you have to go to for lunch and those kinds of things. And I'm just going to, if we could just in a moment, I'll ask you to stand. And those who would like to then just feel they need to leave, that's fine. The time is getting late. But if there's others who'd like to tarry and pray, you tarry and pray. Let's stand and sing this chorus again.
He is able.
We thank You for Your love, so unconditional for us. We thank You that we can come to You with all of our anxiety and with all of our care. There is never a burden that You cannot bear.
Hallelujah.
There is never a friend like Jesus. We thank You for that, oh God. In our weaknesses and in our failures, You are there for us. Help us, oh God, in our failures to reach out to You because we know You are there. You are walking alongside this journey with us. You will never forsake us. I thank You that You are our friend. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our redeemer. You are almighty. And what a friend we have in Jesus. I pray for each person here this morning who may be struggling. I pray that You would just come close, that You would help them to see You and feel You and abide with You. And I pray that whatever is on their heart this morning that might be a burden, that they would lay it down at Your feet and just release it. I pray for those who are not able to be with us this morning, who, for whatever reason, whether it's illness or not being able to come out or even, Lord, they don't want to be here. I pray for them. I pray that You would touch them in these moments, that even as we pray together as a congregation, that they would feel and know that there are people who love them and people who want them to know that You love them as well. And Lord, I just pray that You would continue to be with us, continue to strengthen us, continue to reveal Yourself to us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our final song is number 579 in the songbook in your pews. It's in the new songbook, number 30. We couldn't finish a theme like this without this great song, could we? You know what I'm going to sing, don't you? He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth His more strength as our labors increase. Here it is. To added afflictions, what does He do? He adds His mercy. To multiply trials? Hallelujah. There you go. When we have exhausted our stir of endurance, when strength has failed or the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, the Father's full giving is only begun. Oh, what a wonderful promise and a great way to finish the truth of Jesus' promise. His love has no limits. Let's sing this together. Without a few hallelujahs. All right, so here's the instruction. When I say the first phrase, I want to hear some hallelujahs. And then when I repeat the second phrase, I want to hear some hallelujahs. And then when I say the third phrase, what I want? Hallelujah. Thank you. All right, here we go. His love has no limits. Hallelujah. His grace has no measure. Hallelujah. His power no boundary known unto men. Hallelujah. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Hallelujah. All right. Let's sing this third verse. And let's pray this spoken benediction. God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing. Amen, and God bless you.